WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. There are many economic indicators out there. Some are often quoted, like unemployment rates, gross domestic product, inflation, and retail sales. Many other indicators are obscure, including the rise of pet thefts, sales of lipstick, and the supply of cardboard boxes. Rising pet thefts indicate bad economic times, since thieves are often banking on a reward. Rising sales of lipstick are also indicative of tougher economic times as consumers search for more affordable ways to splurge. Sales of cardboard boxes represent a leading indicator reflecting how retailers expect the next few months to shape up. Yet another leading indicator is the RLB Crane Index. As indicated by writer C.J. Hughes, this index is a tally of operating cranes in 13 major North American cities. The index serves as a tool to assess activity in urban markets. The index includes only tower cranes, which rise 10 to 80 stories and have long booms that lift steel and concrete for projects, including hotels, condominiums, and offices. This winter, the crane tally came in at 427, indicative of still strong construction activity. Seattle was the top city in America on the latest index with 59 cranes. Only Toronto had more in North America with 104. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Are the people who drive for companies like Lyft and Uber to be considered employees or independent contractors? That's the multi-billion dollar question. When these types of companies are able to classify workers as contractors, they are not required to contribute to unemployment insurance or workers' compensation. They also need not heed minimum wage and overtime laws. As indicated by writer Noam Scheiber, industry officials estimate that a workforce comprised of employees costs companies 20 to 30% more than a workforce of contractors. Thus, the answer to the question regarding whether drivers are employees or not is worth hundreds of millions of dollars per year to Uber. Companies like Uber and Lyft argue that their workers should be considered contractors since workers determine when, where, and for how long they work. These companies don't exert a level of control over drivers that one might expect in a typical employer-employee relationship. Skeptics argue that these companies exert control through ratings that induce certain behavior, like treating passengers with courtesy. Uber and Lyft can also determine pay rates for drivers, something independent contractors would typically determine. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Are the people who drive for companies like Lyft and Uber to be considered employees or independent contractors? That's the multi-billion dollar question. When these types of companies are able to classify workers as contractors, they are not required to contribute to unemployment insurance or workers' compensation. They also need not heed minimum wage and overtime laws. As indicated by writer Noam Scheiber, industry officials estimate that a workforce comprised of employees costs companies 20 to 30% more than a workforce of contractors. Thus, the answer to the question regarding whether drivers are employees or not is worth hundreds of millions of dollars per year to Uber. Companies like Uber and Lyft argue that their workers should be considered contractors since workers determine when, where, and for how long they work. These companies don't exert a level of control over drivers that one might expect in a typical employer-employee relationship. Skeptics argue that these companies exert control through ratings that induce certain behavior, like treating passengers with courtesy. Uber and Lyft can also determine pay rates for drivers, something independent contractors would typically determine. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Conventional economics holds that large amounts of government borrowing produces higher interest rates, rising interest burdens, and more inflation. But as indicated by the Wall Street Journal, that hasn't been the case in Japan. That nation is associated with annual output worth around $5 trillion and has a national government debt in the neighborhood of $12 trillion, using a definition supplied by the International Monetary Fund. The result was a government debt-to-GDP ratio that stood at about 240% last year. to put that into context, in Greece, that perennial symbol of fiscal excess, the debt-to-GDP ratio stood at 188% last year. In America, also famous for running large federal government deficits, the government debt-to-GDP ratio is a relatively paltry 106%. Given its massive indebtedness, one might think that Japanese policymakers would be united in striving to bring debt lower. That's not the case. One of the reasons for that is that Japanese government borrowing costs have been negative recently, meaning that the government can borrow now and then pay back less later. Accordingly, some are suggesting that the Japanese government should borrow even more and spend even more. For WYPR, I'm Aniban Basu. This is Aniban Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. You may have heard recently about a college admissions scandal. For decades, a very small percentage of the top 1% have been able to help a child gain admission by financing a new building on campus. Failing that, a few others have seen fit to offer a well-placed bribe to a coach or test proctor. But as indicated by writer Ron Lieber, there is yet another admissions edge that families can supply to their children at many prestigious private colleges and universities, and it's a mechanism available even to those who are merely in the upper middle class. Turns out that one can tilt the scales toward one's child by simply being able to pay for tuition, room, and board, which can add up to around $300,000 over 4 years without requiring financial aid. Some prestigious institutions practice some version of need-aware or need-sensitive admissions. This stands in contrast to need-blind admissions, in which schools consider applications without any regard to whether one is applying for aid. Schools with massive endowments have the luxury of being able to support need-blind admissions, but many others do not. So they sometimes consider financial need when deciding whether to admit a student. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Aniban Basu.